Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report, Friday, Memorial Day weekend edition. Thank you for tuning in. I am Beth, a.k.a. The True, and if Cousin Linda will be joining us, she's not with us yet. So thank you for rolling with Culture Shock Entertainment Report, and really appreciate your listenership. Since, if you've been with us since day one from the March 2011 premiere or recently. Thank you. And thank you for supporting the podcast that I am premiering now on Spotify, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports exclusive. And also, I'm a member of Clubhouse now. So thank you so much for supporting my Clubhouse, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports podcast. That's the name of my house, and you are welcome to my house at Clubhouse. I just joined like Sunday, and so there will be a show at 6 p.m. this evening, Central Standard Time this evening. Also, and a topic, Memorial Day weekend, of course. So Memorial Day, it's a three-day weekend, which... Also, summer is unofficially here, right? Congratulations to those that are out of school and getting out of school. And graduates, congratulations to you on graduating. This is a fun time of year, which every time of year, every season is a fun time of year, right? So, but it's Memorial Day weekend. Again, Memorial Day is Monday. It's bittersweet for my family and I. Like I mentioned before, my late brother, Mr. Christopher Dale White, he passed away at age 23. Had only been out of the military for a year and a half, and he died unexpectedly from a brain hemorrhage. When I was 14 and he was 23, and my late brother-in-law, who you all, a mentor and friend, owner of Out of Africa Imports in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex in Prairie, it would be a year this Memorial Day weekend that he passed away. And he was also a vet from the Vietnam War. My late brother served in 4 years in the U.S. Army also. My family's filled with vets. My last name is Williams. My mother's husband that died in the Korean War, they never did find his body, MIA. That's his last name I have. Private Everett Williams. And not, of course, not my father, but my late sister's father, my sister who was married to my brother-in-law, who's been gone over a year now, Mrs. Diane Williams Ellis. That he was her father. There's five children, and the remaining four, our father named Harry McCall. But it's just when I was born, since my mother and father were common law married, when I was born in a Catholic hospital, I took my mother's name, and I'm honored to have the last name of her late husband, my late sister's father. And he was adopted and didn't have any other relatives that he knew that was blood relatives. And so I'm honored. And both times I married, I hyphenated my name. You know, I hyphenated my name also with my first husband, Bethany Williams Quinn, with my second husband from Cairo, Egypt, Bethany Williams Sharif. And you all know, Terry and I never did get married. And so, you know, and so I haven't married anybody else since then. Those of you that, you know, I haven't talked about my personal life in so long. So I just wanted to add that. This is like the getting to know. Remember we used to do the getting to know one another segment? So I just wanted to add a little bit of info and share a little bit for those that are interested in getting to know me, because I get a lot of inboxes from people and calls from people around the world that want to get to know me better. And so it's like Cousin Linda, she would love for you all to call us more and save the number in your phone. So when you feel like calling, call us and talk about hot topics or what's on your mind or the subject matter that we are. This 516 is the call-in number for our guests and for listeners. 516-595-8255. 516-595-8255. Let me repeat. 515-595-8255. Put it on speed dial. Culture Shock Entertainment Reports are best in Linda, BTR community. And also remember to create your listener profile account so you can chat in the chat room with not only us when we are live on air, but with the entire BTR community. You can chat with us and, you know, follow us. Oh, and this is an amazing community. Cousin Linda is with us now, but again, the call-in number, 516-595-8255. Yes, and it is Memorial Day weekend, and Monday is the official holiday, and it's a 3-day weekend. And Cousin Linda, I'm glad that you are with us. I was just sending a shout-out to late brother. I was discussing that this is a bittersweet weekend because we lost your late cousin-in-law and my late brother-in-law a year ago on Memorial Day weekend. Fidel, when he was 23 and I was 14. And also, like we were saying, even though it's a big day, dollar weekend, we must remember Memorial Day is regarding those veterans that we have lost during wars. So I will be quiet and let you share your thoughts regarding Memorial Day weekend and anything that's on your mind before, you know, so we can just talk about Memorial Day weekend and food and travel and all of that good stuff.
Well, Memorial Day, like you said, has significant meaning to our family because there were so many members in our family, your immediate family and kind of my immediate family. My stepfather, the late A.J. Badgett, was in the Army. My ex-husband, right, who's still alive and lives in Vicksburg, was in the Army and retired as a reservist. And there are just so many people in our family who were in the military.
And most of our uncles,
definitely
Albert, and then a host of cousins, male and female.
Yeah, yes, and some of their, I think, spouses were in the military as well. like cousin Evelyn Harper, she married a military person. Uncle James' daughter, Tiara, was in the Air Force. So, yeah, we just have a family full of people who served this country.
She was, and after the Air Force, she joined the Army, and then that's where she met her husband that she's with. And they they own a restaurant in Killeen, Texas. Right. She not only did the Air Force, but the Army, too. Betty's son also, Daryl.
Didn't he join the military?
Evelyn's brother.
I didn't know that. Okay. And Daryl's son, Michael, went to West Point, graduated from West Point.
And then when he finished West Point, he served in Korea. Yep, he went active in Korea. He sure did.
Cousin Patricia Montgomery's husband, Peter Montgomery, one of the young men who was in one of my class when I was doing my student teaching, who always tries to look so innocent on Facebook, but he was in the class with cousin David Brown, and David Brown had to be the worst student I ever had in my life. And I used to come home all tired. I'd come home tired and worn out, and I'd ask my mama to please call his mother and ask her to ask David, would he please not cut up in my class, because I'd be just worn out when I got home from dealing with him and the other people.
own cousin.
My own cousin, him and his little crew. So we have been really represented in the armed forces.
Yeah, and even his brother, who was a year younger than me, he made a career out of serving in the Navy.
Wow.
Mm. Michael Brown. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, every military holiday is very close to us. It's very close to our it's very important personally to us.
Exactly.
Not just patriotically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go way back. Like you said, the Korean conflict, World War II, because Uncle Mutt, whom I just mailed a birthday card to him. I don't know if you're aware. His birthday is June the 2nd. But with the mail,
yes, I am aware, and I've been thinking about him often too.
Well, this is the first time I remember. Well, I think maybe the second time I remembered to mail a birthday card in time, because usually when I think about his birthday, it's June the 30th, Aunt Mildred's birthday, and I'm like, oh well, missed Uncle Mud again. But I made it a point to get his birthday card mailed off today. So he was stationed in France during World War II. I don't know if it was. I don't know if it was World War II or if he was just stationed in France. He might be a little bit too young for World War II, but I know he was in France.
Now I never. He tell me. He has told me many stories. I haven't sat down with him in a long time. But I've never heard any of his French stories. Now, Uncle Herman, he tell me many of his Army stories.
Well, he was in the Air Force, and I don't think Uncle Herman went overseas. I thought all of his service was stateside, but I could be wrong. And I could be wrong.
But no,
about
I'm just
Uncle
saying, out of all the stories that he have told me, he have never shared his military French story. I was just saying, Uncle Herman shared his stories of being in the military.
Well, I could be wrong about Uncle Mutt, but I thought that he was.
I'm sure you're right. I'm just saying he's never shared the stories with me. He shared me stories, history stories about our bloodline. About our bloodline and our family in Florence, but. Not the military stories.
Okay, and I could be wrong, you know, because we had so many folks in the military, but I remember writing him, Uncle James, and Uncle Herman, And who was it? What, Uncle Herman, I think, said he used to love to get my little letters. He said, but he would be afraid to open them to payday. Because he said, I always said, dear Uncle Herman, how are you? I am fine. Can you please send me $2?
And he honored that request. And he would honor that request, so he would prefer the letter come on when he paid.
He said he'd wait until payday before he opened it because he knew I was going to say, can you please send me $2? I didn't know that. But, yeah, when I was in school.
It would be so funny if he send you – it would be so funny if he send you $2, like, real soon. That would be so funny. Speaking of Little Linda.
I think I was in the second grade when we learned how to write letters. And since I, you know, actually had somebody to write letters to, and I just remember, you know, when we would learn to write letters, it would be, how are you? I am fine. And then you do the body of the letter. I couldn't think of anything else to say because, you know, in the second grade, your mind isn't that developed that you can write a whole letter. So the only thing I could really recall is, can you please send me $2?
I started writing Prince when I was in the third grade when his first album came out. Long letters. Beverly had to help me with the first one. So that was like Prince was like my first official pen pal.
Oh, goodness.
Right. So you knew how to write, can you send me $2?
Yeah, that's funny.
You figured he was doing fine. That's a cute story. But you and I love to send cards, and I like to write letters. I still like that, and that's something that teachers should make as projects nowadays, you know, to talk with their kids about writing old-fashioned letters.
Oh, no. Everything is a text message because they some, I don't know, for lack of a better term, some statistical data saying that baby boomers like to write phone. Gen Xers would rather do text messaging. And the millennials or whatever, I don't even know what you call what they do, instant message or personal, social media or something. But I was like, that is exactly right, because people my age, we get insulted when we get wedding invitations through a text
message.
And
which one like the video chat? Because some social media friends, I guess listeners of the show, that's why I'm sharing the number. Love to call on Messenger, and I'm like, I don't know who this is. So those of you that are always calling on Facebook Messenger or Instagram Messenger, call us now, 516-595-8255, because I'm not answering.
Well, my friend Jimmy Roy, who is also a veteran, lives in Jackson, Mississippi, would always hit me up on FaceTime. And I'd have to hoop and holler and fuss at him. Well, why you don't want to be on FaceTime? I'm like, well, number one, I'm not wearing any clothes. I'm in my pajamas.
Right.
And my hair is plaited up, and I don't feel like getting dressed just to talk to you. Oh, girl, go on and put some clothes on me. You don't really have to. Well, I'm not going to talk to you in my pajamas, Jimmy Roy. And he likes the FaceTime, but he finally realized that I'm not the one. I am not.
And then exactly. And then if you are going to FaceTime or Zoom or Facebook Messenger, schedule it. Okay, we'll talk at such and such time. I mean, people will just jump up and call, and they know I'm not going to answer unless it's you or my sister or my sister kids. Usually do not answer or someone business. You know, so like my Avon coach, she likes to talk Facebook Messenger. But if it's business, but one of my male besties, but even with him, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I think he realized that it's still uncomfortable because I might be in my – and half naked or naked and just not – presentable to be on camera.
Yeah, my ex-husband used to call me a lot about 5 or 6 years ago, and for some reason he'd do the Jimmy Roy thing. It'd be showing up on FaceTime. And I said, look, I am not getting on FaceTime. Why? I don't need to see you. And you definitely don't need to see me. Because I am not somebody who gets up in the morning and putting on makeup. I've never worn makeup in my life. I don't see any reason why I should. I think I even
mentioned to you about us doing the podcast on Facebook, and you said, I'm not going, I'll do it audio, but not live.
no, ma'am. They don't need to see me. They can go on Facebook and look at my pictures. I have some from the time I was 3 years old up until last week or week before last. Last week. So if they want to see what I look like, just go on Facebook and buy my book, and you can picture on the back cover. But we've got all off the subject of Memorial Day. I don't know what else to say about Memorial Day other than I thought it would be a solemn day, but in this country we take it as a day to have fun and overeat.
I seen a commercial earlier today. I know I've been seeing furniture commercials and JCPenney's, and I was like, I wonder what department store is this? And, it's just a happy time of commercial for Memorial Day. And it really didn't change. And if it wasn't for red, white, and blue, I mean, you wouldn't even know it was for Memorial Day. Until the end, it popped up Memorial Day sale. Like, wow.
And definitely, I think people who are probably maybe 5 or 10 years younger than you, I don't even think they know what Memorial Day is. All they know is it's a federal holiday. They don't have to go to school, or maybe they don't have to go to work or something. Because we don't stress that. Now, you may see on the evening news on Monday somebody was at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and the people that I know don't watch the news. I have friends.
And I always love the PBS Memorial Day concert that's held on Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And those are like PBS, you know, we like to watch that.
Oh, I love PBS. I can't say enough good stuff about them. Mm-hmm. But Memorial Day falls in line with all the other holidays. I wish we were like the Jewish people, where the holiday really had some meaning, and they have, I don't want to say rituals, but they have, can't think of the word, I guess maybe rituals, certain things that they follow, regulations that they follow and observe. And us, a holiday, you know, that's, like I said, it's time to go spend some money, go buy a new car or washer and dryer and have a picnic or go to the beach. It's just another day, really, a day that people, some, you know, don't have to work, but for others, they do have to work. At the furniture store over here in Nebraska, Furniture Mart, and they do observe several holidays throughout the year. Like, they're going to be closed Memorial Day, which is highly unusual. That's the day.
Now, that is beautiful. Yes, it is. And you better believe their competition is banking on that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We're open.
Yes,
we're open.
Yeah. Extra hours. The Memorial Day. And they've been advertising for at least a month.
Well,
you
that
know,
is a blessing. It's a blessing to their staff and everyone. But their competition is banking on it. Well, Nebraska Furniture, is that their name? Might be closed, but we will definitely be open.
Yeah, Nebraska Furniture Mart, give them a shout-out. Because they do close on, I would say, about half of the holidays in the year, if not all of them. I don't know. But I know they do when they have a commercial around the holiday, and they say, and we will be closed on whatever the holiday is. And I have to admit, I'm a guilty person. I go out looking to see what stores are open. I might need to buy something that day. Mm-hmm.
There are some awesome Memorial Day sales, though. You know, just throughout history, just throughout my lifetime, Memorial Day sales. But you're right. Do not forget the reason. It is for our soldiers, our military personnel that have lost their lives doing active duty. That's what Memorial Day is all about. For those that don't know, that's what it is about. It's a memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a point last year, what's happy about it? You made a point last year, what's happy about it?
I don't get the happy Memorial Day thing. And to me, that's just commercialism. Everything is happy, so go spend some money. And I thought we should be a little more respectful. And I think I even see veterans on there saying Happy Memorial Day. So
yes.
I guess they're to the height, or they've just given up on trying to take the day as what it was meant to be. But we were taught in school, in elementary school, about Memorial Day. And it was a day to observe the fallen. But now, don't get me started on what's going on in school systems, because it's kind of like anything goes.
Yes, I didn't realize. I'm looking over facts and meanings about it before we get into how much money it generates. And I didn't realize it just became a federal holiday in 71. I figured it's been a federal holiday for a long time,
well,
much longer than 71.
Yeah, I guess when they say federal holiday, meaning that federal businesses are closed, banks are closed, or
right,
whatever. So, yeah, things are holidays, like Mother's Day is a holiday, but it's not a federal holiday. And, I didn't realize that Memorial Day wasn't a federal holiday. But, see, back when we were coming up, holidays were holidays. They didn't have to be federal holidays because people observed.
Exactly.
So I guess in order to try to make it look like we're observing it, they decided to make it federal, meaning federal businesses are closed. And corporations may choose to honor them and may not. And if they are businesses that work during those days, you know, like businesses that serve the public and have to operate, do they pay their employees time and a half or double time and a half? Do they observe it that way? Because you're forcing a person to work on a federal holiday, so are you going to compensate them? And some businesses offer options. You know, you can work if you want to, or see if you can find somebody who wants to work in your place. Because a friend of mine, I think she said she was going to work, because her husband is working. He sells furniture. And I think since he's going to be at work, she's probably just going to work because she works from home. And so it's extra money, and she's at home, so... But now we just look for excuses to have sales and maybe eat, because everything seems like all these holidays are associated some kind of way with food.
Right, because I think as a child, I related Memorial Day and 4th of July and Labor Day as holidays for us to barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know,
oh yeah.
Right,
get out,
but they are very meaningful, and it's important for us to teach our youngins, like Aunt Bobby used to say, youngins. It's important to teach the youngins at a young age. These holidays are meant to be.
Mm-hmm. But things are just so different now. And when we were coming along, at least in my generation, like you used to hear older people talking about the good old days, and we didn't understand it or what was so good about them. And now here I am.
Now we're talking about the good old days.
Yeah, the good old days, and children have no respect. Because I think they were saying the same thing about us, especially the beat generation. I guess outlaws, whatever you call the people in the 50s, Marlon Brando and that crew, and James Dean, the blue jean wearing crew, motorcycles. Yeah, I don't know what they were called. The Wild, I remember the movies, The Wild Ones or The Wild Bunch or something, and James Dean from that era. And then the 60s had beatniks, because I used to want to be a beatnik, and my mama was asking me, why did I want to be a beatnik? Because all they would do is sit in coffee houses and drink coffee and smoke cigarettes and listen to poetry.
And you know what? I always thought I would be a cool beatnik. I'm like, that seemed like that was cool. That was a cool era, cool subculture.
Yeah, definitely. And so now kids want to be rap artists and emulate their rap stars and other people in the music industry that they like, or athletes or whatever. And it's hard for us to understand it because we don't relate to that. Because when I see these kids with tattoos from the neck on down to their wrists and maybe the backs of their hands and legs, and I'm like, well,
the entire body looked like clothing. Body looked like.
Right. I was like, I can understand a tattoo or two, but your entire body, I don't get it.
And my era was the era that Chippa Gore and her group decided to ban music from Prince and Madonna. That was my era. when Chippa Gore was like, no. We must ban this music.
Gore at Senate hearings, and well, I didn't know what to do, I had never heard of Darling Nikki until she was at the Senate complaining.
But yeah, talking about exactly, and how did she hear about Darling Nikki?
Yeah, you know, I guess some people listen to it. But
right,
I was thinking, can't she find something else to do?
I'm like, what did Prince do? I've been listening to Prince since I was 7, 8.
And then she had nerve to recite the lyrics when she was talking about Darling Nikki, something about masturbating with a magazine.
Right.
And I was like, I never would have known any of this, Ms. Gore, until you brought this up.
Right.
I don't know why she was all outraged.
And Madonna's song, She Bop, about masturbating.
No, that wasn't Madonna. That was Girls Just Want to Have Fun. What's her name?
Girls Want to Have Fun, and she had Madonna, the She Bop song.
She Bop was by the girl that did Girls That Just Want to Have Fun. Let me see who that is.
Girls Want to Have Fun was Cyndi Lauper, and She Bop was Madonna.
And then, of course,
Two Live Crew. Two Live Crew. Oh, she had them hard on us. And then many of our rock stars, the rock stars, Twisted Sister, oh, my God, you know, they freaked out.
Mm-hmm. Did you know he was a classically trained musical artist? The guy.
I think I did know that. Yeah, I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm. We're not
talking about talent. Talking about talent, right? Not your. He know his music. Classical music.
He was on The Masked Singer too. He was one of the masked singers, and I should have known who he was from the hints that he was giving out and the sound of his voice and everything. And I missed it. I've only gotten one person right on The Masked Singer on my own, and that was Debbie Gibson. And
well, I think
sometimes...
didn't you have Jerry Springer write too? Because look, I love to see your comments. I don't watch the man's finger, but watching your comments make me feel like I'm watching it. But didn't you guess Jerry Springer correctly too? I remember it seemed like you guessed at him.
I don't unless somebody on the panel guessed and I agreed with them.
Oh.
Because I've done
and
that,
Dick,
you know. But
Dick Van Dyke was on there too, right? Wasn't Dick Van Dyke on there recently?
Yeah, I missed him. I should have known it was Dick Van Dyke. I don't know. I just be so confused.
Oh, my
and,
God. And you're talking about aging beautifully. Is he, what, 97? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and still in good health and can move.
Yes.
When certain people get in their 60s and 70s, their bones get brittle and they start breaking their hips and legs and stuff. Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
I don't think he must be taking something that's lubricating his joints.
Right.
He still sounds good. Look good. And I think he did a tap dance or two on there too.
That is just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned the Memorial Day traditions and rituals. And I'm looking at History Channel, an article from History Channel, and their take on our Memorial Day traditions and rituals are cities and towns across the United States host Memorial Day parades each year, often incorporating military personnel and members of veterans organizations. Some of the largest parades taking place in Chicago, New York, and Washington, D.C., Americans also observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries and memorials. Some people wear a red poppy in remembrance of those fallen in war, a tradition that began with a World War I poem. On a less somber note, many people take weekend trips like you were talking about or throw parties and barbecue holiday, because that's what I was talking about when I was a little kid. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to have the family over. You know, mom loved to have barbecues and invite all of you over. And Aunt Mildred and many, and all our kin folks love to have barbecues. Some people just make their plans house to house. You know, so perhaps because Memorial Day week. Huh?
I was saying you mentioned the red poppy. That brings back memories,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's why I paused, because I wondered if you have a comment.
No, I was just going to say I remember the red poppies. I don't recall any parades, and you named the major cities, so maybe they occur in major cities or maybe smaller towns, but I don't recall hearing anything about the Dallas Metroplex.
That's what I was going to ask
parade.
You. I'm like, I'm sure Dallas have a big parade, but then you just said you
don't
know. You never heard of
it.
Yeah.
I heard about it. All I see is commercials to come buy something.
Right.
You know, take advantage of these sales.
The long weekend comprising the Saturday and Sunday before Memorial Day, and Memorial Day itself unofficially marks the beginning of summer. Right. School is out. People are graduating. And this is the kickoff of summer.
And
then,
summer,
Cousin Linda.
Go
what?
Ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of summer, have you noticed all these shark attacks? It seems
Every
time you turn the news on, somebody's gotten bitten by a shark.
Cousin Linda, I've noticed the sharks and the bears. Sharks and bears. I'm like, whoa.
I haven't seen the bear thing, but I've just seen a lot of stuff on the news.
But
shark attacks.
And I would say shark attacks and bear sightings on people's property. I think I've only heard of one bear attack. But, I seen a video the day before yesterday where it was like a family of bears in this woman's backyard, like five or six.
Mm-hmm.
And she was She was like up on her balcony and filming like a family. A family. And it wasn't like the mama and the baby bears. It was like mama and maybe her brothers and sisters. And we were the babies. I was like, oh my God.
Well, I know we are encroaching on, you know, wildlife habitats, but if we're going to do that, and I hate to be this way because I know what a staunch animal lover you are, and I'm an animal lover too, but there's certain animals that I love. I don't love all animals. I think we need to do something about these alligators, these huge
they're a big problem here.
A big problem everywhere where there's water. And these bears and the sharks, because a lot of people were feeling sorry for sharks in the South China Sea and in China and Hong Kong, because shark fin soup or shark fin dishes are very popular there. And I know they used to be. I don't know about now. I don't hear a lot about them. But they were saying it was so cruel the way, you know, they would catch the shark, cut the fins off, and throw the shark back into the water. And deep down inside, I was glad. Forgive me for shark lovers out there. But I'm like, these are big, vicious animals attacking people and killing people. And then the news people come on and say, you don't have to be afraid of sharks. Sharks very rarely attack people. And I'm saying to myself, I don't think that's true. And especially recently.
I mean, these are like real life Jaws situations.
Yes.
That's what I call
Jaws. I'm saying these aren't little sharks. And
someone needs to make a documentary, a real life Jaws. The documentary.
They're coming closer and closer to the shoreline. You had to be out in deep water for a shark to be out there or to see a shark. But now sharks are coming to, you know, to the shore like in 2 and 3 feet of water.
Uh-huh.
So somebody is lying, talking about humans don't have to worry about sharks. And they closed down several beaches due to so many shark attacks. So, and them alligators.
Oh my God!
And
this holiday weekend, some beaches will not be open, and some they definitely must pay close attention.
Yeah, and in Florida, you see all those alligators on the golf courses, and people just standing around laughing and. Oh yeah, I mean 16, 17, 18 feet long alligators. And they think that's cute.
Didn't one attack a woman and her dog?
It killed the woman. Florida. She was trying to, she was protecting her little dog. And the dog got away, but the alligator took the woman off in the water and killed her. And they say they think he ate her, but they couldn't find her body.
That's what I wondered. I'm like, I never did find out what really happened. Okay.
And remember,
I didn't know what was the end of the story.
Yeah,
wow.
He ate her. Did you see on TMZ the guy that had gone out to use the restroom in the pond and the alligator bit his arm off?
I missed that one.
Yeah, this was day before yesterday. The guy had gone to the restroom at this restaurant, and the line was long, and he couldn't hold it, so he decided to go use the restroom outdoors at this pond, and the alligator.
Right, like many of you guys like to do. You guys are something else. You guys haven't made.
Oh, yeah, they'll go to the bathroom.
Right, they can just go to the restroom anywhere in private.
Private, public.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, the alligator.
But then I hadn't heard that story, Cousin Linda, and bit his arm off.
Bit his arm off, yeah, because he was screaming, and some people came running to help him, and they kept telling him, you know how they talk to people who think they're dying or whatever. Man, we're gonna take care of you. Don't worry, and this and that. And the guy was going in and out of consciousness, and a lot of people, a former friend of mine.
But did he step in the water or he was on land?
No.
Did he step in the water or he was on land?
He was on land. This is what I'm getting ready to tell you. People don't realize what alligators can do. Alligators and crocodiles. these things, these animals have a high rate of speed. You can't outrun them. They will grab you and take you off into the water, and then they roll around and twist around with you, you know, flopping in their mouth. But alligators can also jump up on them hind legs. You know, they're already like 12, 15
right.
feet.
Right. And they can stand on hind legs. Yeah. People don't realize. Right.
And they can climb trees. Because a friend of mine was trying to tell me that's not true. I said, look, I saw with my own
eyes. Yes, it
eyes
is true.
What crocodiles can do. Because I experienced that myself in Thailand. We were at the crocodile farm. And all these crocodiles, and we were on a little wooden bridge, maybe.
Oh, no.
In the air. Yeah, maybe 8 feet in the air if it was that high. And so they were just laying there.
See, I wouldn't have been on that little bridge anyway.
Well, I didn't know any better. And it was a couple from somewhere here in the United States, because they were going to go somewhere, and we were all in the same car. And they were going to another place, and I said, well, I'm going to the crocodile farm, and then from there we're going to go to the place where you can ride the elephant. And they said, oh, that sounds so much more exciting than where we were going. We want to go there, too. And so they, you know, took the tour I was taking. So when we got to the crocodile farm, like I said, it just looked like about 100 crocodiles just laying there doing nothing.
Oh!
We wanted to take pictures.
Oh, my God. And you're on that little bridge. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so we wanted to take pictures of them actually doing something, because we were like, this don't even look dangerous. And so the tour guide said, well, you have to feed them. And so he said, but you have to buy the food. And so this couple and their little kid didn't want to buy the food. And I said, well, I'll buy the food because I want them to do something. And it was really expensive.
Look,
so
you want to enjoy, if you're there, you want to see some action.
Yeah. And so I paid for the food. And so here comes a bucket of chicken. And so I got a piece of the chicken, and before the tour guide could say anything, I held a piece of chicken over the bridge, and next thing I know, my tour guide was yelling at me, don't do that, don't do that. And the crocodile was jumping up in the air, up in the air, Bethany, and I was so scared, I didn't know what to do. I was like, take this chicken. Let me get off this bridge. And I mean, they just went to flipping and flopping and swarming around and carrying on. I was like, oh my goodness. And so that's when the tour guide was explaining to me. I think he was just going to dump the food over down there where they were. But I was, you know.
And you were holding it. And so instead of you dropping the food to them, they were like, well, we'll come get it.
Yes, he could have, you know, grabbed my hand and pulled me down there, and I'd have been torn to shreds by crocodiles.
That's what the tour guide was trying to tell you. Don't hold it. Just throw it to
them. Just throw it.
And that alligator, that alligator, like any other pet, a dog or cat, give me my food.
Yes,
I'll get it.
Because you know how Andre would stand up on his little hind legs so I could feed him, you know, and he'd spin around and dance. Alligators and crocodiles can stand up on, and they can also prop themselves up on that tail. So I don't think people really understand dangers, because in Florida they have to, you know, put up signs about please do not feed the alligators. Then why would you feed alligators? And folks that live in Florida, it's like, oh yeah, you got a lot of tourists that do that, and some people just feed them. I'm like, this is a vicious amphibian. He can go out there and fend for himself. He will eat
you. But when
you
look at them, they look like they can't. And when we look at them, they look like, oh, they're just lazy. And they're not, you know, they got their legs. Their legs look short. They just have them.
Yeah,
they just have them pulled.
Short legs.
They just have them pulled up to their bodies. That's what people don't realize, too. That they have
their
legs pulled up to their bodies.
Look at
those
that,
legs
and
stretch.
Mouth. Yes, and look at that big mouth. And I think it's what about
right.
500 pounds of pressure. And I tell you something else that made people in Florida stupid. I'm sorry, you know, but when they were watching Miami Vice, and remember Don Johnson had a pet alligator,
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Miami Vice? Yeah, he had a pet alligator.
I love Miami Vice,
cool.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess that was cool to some people, and they decided they wanted a pet alligator. Uh-uh. You cannot domesticate that kind of an animal.
But you make a good point about the alligators, because I have a tortoise and I have a turtle, and they are, people can think that turtles and tortoises are slow, like the tortoise and the hare. When I put them out on the ground, they go real fast. So you make, when you tell the story about the alligators, you make me think of their small little distant cousins, the turtles. My turtles and my tortoise, they are fast. They are not slow.
Wow. And, I didn't know that. I learned something because I thought they were slow. And we had a turtle.
No. I have to make a video when I clean their tank out and let them run and walk. I will send you a video. They are fast.
Okay.
They are fast.
Uncle James, Uncle Herman, or somebody at Grandmama Maddie's house had a turtle, and I used to play with them. I used to not be afraid of animals. I don't know how I came to become afraid of
Cousin
animals.
Cousin Trenton, I love turtles. So one of my Hispanic neighbors gave me the turtle, the tortoise, and then last week they brought me a turtle. And so the tortoise is very, and the turtle, the tortoise is named after Cousin Trent. But Shelly Trent. Yeah, Shelly Trent. Because Cousin Trent and I, we used to love to find turtles. You know, they have the creek behind their house. And also, they clean over here in our area. And we would find turtles, you know, when they were so beautiful, you know. And I'm like, that's a sign of Cousin Trent.
Well,
you used to be...
My former coworker had a turtle or has a turtle. I don't know. I haven't talked to in years. But anyway, she used to come to work. And you know how you talk about your cat or your dog? And she'd be talking about Terry and Terry this and Terry that. And I think she had to spank Terry. She's always angry about something Terry had done. So I'm trying to figure out, well, who is Terry?
And ironically named Terry.
Terry is her turtle, and she used to take Terry walking, and I'm like, how do you take a turtle walking? Yeah, does he have a leash? What do you do with the turtle?
Well, that's what some people tell me, that my tortoise will grow big. So she must have one of those big tortoises.
are you sure it's legal to have a tortoise as well? Because you know they're on the endangered species list, and I know when I was in Hong Kong over there, I don't think anything's illegal in Hong Kong.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't be talking about it. I don't want nobody to come get my baby.
Well, they might come get him, but like if you wanted to buy tortoise shell sunglasses, now because I actually bought some tortoise shell sunglasses in Hong Kong. And I bought some in Italy. And I thought I was going to get caught bringing them back to the States. But they didn't get confiscated. And I don't know if the customs people didn't realize it was tortoise or whatever. Because it looked like fake tortoise, I guess, to them. But when I bought them, because like I said, in certain countries, things that are illegal here are not illegal.
Well, that's
illegal
certain
enough.
Countries, yeah. Mississippi tortoise, you know, it's probably a lot of them. But, yeah, from your type of tortoise, oh, my goodness. But you didn't get in trouble?
No, and I tell I don't think that customs knew what it was. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is they just weren't aware that it was genuine tortoise. Sometimes they let you through and sometimes they don't. Like when I think I was telling you about when my very expensive cognac got confiscated in Hong Kong, and I said I didn't know, I couldn't bring back five bottles. I thought I could bring back five bottles instead of one. No, it was three bottles. I had.
Uh-huh.
I think it was two bottles of Camu XO and Otard XO. And you can supposedly only bring back 1/5 of liquor, and I think 1 bottle of wine or something. And
wow,
stuff costs money in this country. I just decided to buy me a bunch of bottles, and I had never gotten caught bringing it back. But this particular time, they decided to go through my stuff and found all my cognac.
Oh my goodness.
Which was terribly expensive, even in Hong Kong, because it costs about 3 times more in this country than it did in Hong Kong. It was $80 a bottle back in 83 or 84, which I guess now might be the equivalent of about $150, maybe $200 a bottle. And you really couldn't find it in the United States. And so I just always buy mine at the duty-free shop at the airport. And this particular time I was going through customs at the airport in Hong Kong, and they found all my liquor, and I was trying to cry. And I said, I didn't know that I couldn't bring all that, you know, to the United States. And he said, no, your country won't allow it. Your country won't allow it. I'm going to have to take it. I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
Oh,
please.
They probably turned that cognac up. I know they didn't pour it out.
No, he let me keep it. And so when he let me keep it. And so when I got to the United States, I had it hidden, very well hidden, in my carry-on luggage, and they didn't find it. These are the days before the scanners. You know, those X-ray machines. Yeah, they didn't have those things. They can just manually look. And if it's a long line, they, you know, unless they suspected drugs or something, they just tell you to come on through.
Right.
They didn't bother with it. But now, since people have gotten berserk and are trying to bring weapons in, and people are trying to make a killing by importing drugs and all that. And I think we were talking before, you know, I'm so glad I got to travel during the glorious days of travel instead of like now. When it's a nightmare.
Yeah. Now you can't even have a minimum amount of beauty products and toiletries and,
Yeah, just like 2 ounces or 1.5 ounces or whatever. You could get those and do whatever you wanted to do. Bring back as much stuff or carry as much with you. But, to me, travel just isn't fun anymore.
Well, hopefully we will make it fun.
Well, I guess it's fun to them because they didn't experience the fun days. This is routine. And flights weren't canceled like they are now. You really didn't have to worry about flight delays. If it was delayed, it was no more than 30 minutes. Unless it was something
and because of, and due to a weather storm, you know, something like weather.
Yeah, you have a lot of weather. So,
because there's a delay due to weather.
Yeah, you have a lot of delays. Weather, you know, we talked about that climate change. You have a lot of issues with weather now.
Wow. So I'm looking at another article to continue to talk about Memorial Day, because this is something that you probably know about, will share insight on. One of the earliest Memorial Day ceremonies was held by freed African Americans. At the close of the Civil War, people recently freed from slavery in Charleston honored fallen Union soldiers. And this is an article in the History Channel, blog. By David Ruth. So you know about that? The Memorial Day was born out of necessity. After the American Civil War, a battered United States was faced with the task of burying and honoring the 600,000 to 800,000 Union and Confederate soldiers who had died in the bloodiest military conflict in American history. The first national commemoration of the Memorial Day was held in Arlington National Cemetery on May 30th, 1868, where both Union and Confederate soldiers are buried. Several towns and cities across America claim to have observed their own earlier versions of Memorial Day or Decoration Day as early as 1866. The earlier name is derived from the fact that decorating graves was and remains a central activity of Memorial Day. But it wasn't until a remarkable discovery in a dusty Harvard University archive in the late 1990s that historians learned about a Memorial Day commemoration organized by a group of black people freed from enslavement less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865.
If I'm not mistaken, I posted something to that effect on Facebook because I was on YouTube, finding it on YouTube. I was not aware, but when I saw it on YouTube, I clicked on it and posted it on Facebook probably 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But I doubt if anybody read it.
When I see it, I read it. So tag me when you post the stories like that, too. So that was less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Decoration Day, back in 1996, David Blight, a professor of American history at Yale University, was researching a book on the Civil War when he had one of those once-in-a-career eureka moments. A curator at Harvard's Houghton Library asked if he wanted to look through two boxes of unsorted material from Union veterans. There was a file labeled the First Decoration Day. Remembers Blight still amazed at his good fortune and made an inside on a piece of cardboard was a narrative handwritten by an old veteran, plus a date referencing an article in the New York Tribune. That narrative told the essence of the story that he ended up telling in a book of this march on the racetrack in 1865. The racetrack in question was the Washington Race Horse and Jockey Club in Charleston, South Carolina, in the late stages of the Civil War. The Confederate Army transformed the formerly posh country club into a makeshift prison for Union captives. More than 260 Union soldiers died from disease and exposure while being held in the racetrack's open-air infield. Their bodies were hastily buried in a mass grave behind the grandstands. When Charleston fell and Confederate troops evacuated the badly damaged city, those freed from enslavement remained. Wow. You probably know about this. One of the first things those emancipated men and women did was to give the fallen Union prisoners a proper burial. Look at that, Cousin Linda. They exhumed the mass graves and re-entered the bodies at a new cemetery with a tall whitewashed fence inscribed with the words Martyrs of the Race Course. Oh, my God. And then on May the 1st, 1865, something even more extraordinary happened. According to two reports that Blight found in the New York Tribune and the Charleston Courier, a crowd of 10,000 people, mostly freed slaves with some white missionaries, staged a parade, I'm getting chills, around the racetrack. 3,000 black school children carried bouquets of flowers and sang John Brown's body. Members of the famed 54th Massachusetts and other black Union regiments were in attendance and performed double time marches. Black ministers recited verses from the Bible. If the news reports are accurate, the 1865 gathering at the Charleston racetrack will be the earliest Memorial Day commemoration on record. Blight excitedly called the Avery Institute of Afro-American History and Culture at the College of Charleston looking for more information on this historic event. Wow, he said he never heard of it. They told me, says Blight, this never happened. See, that's what you've been talking about, Cousin Linda, the importance of Black history. Oh, my God. But it was clear from the newspaper reports that a Memorial Day observance was organized by free slaves in Charleston at least a year before other U.S. cities and 3 years before the first national observance. How had been lost to history for over a century. This was a story that had really been suppressed both in the local memory and certainly the national memory. Right, not in any history books I've read and been taught, says Blake, but nobody who had witnessed it could ever have forgotten it. Blake kept digging for more information, but the only other mention he found of the racetrack event was in a 1916 correspondence sent from a Women's Civil War Historical Society in New Orleans to its sister chapter in Charleston, asking about a big parade of freed slaves on a horse track at the end of the war. I regret that I was unable to gather any official information in answer to this, wrote the Charleston Society president. That's such a telling statement, says Blight. The woman who wrote that letter may not have known about it, but the fact that she didn't tell the story. Wow, Cousin Linda. Now, this is from a reliable source, y'all. This is the History Channel. This is their website. This is their writers. Oh, my God.
Stuff they don't want us to know. Better not say that in Florida.
Right. Oh, my God.
Theory.
Oh, my God. Right. I'm getting chills. That need to be in our history books, our school books.
Well, even if it is, it can't be taught in certain states. So if we don't do it by word of mouth, it probably won't get told. Still there? Still there, cousin?
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. During a power outage, never use generators, grills, or other gasoline, propane, or charcoal burning devices inside your home, garage, or carport, or near doors, windows, or vents. They produce carbon monoxide, an odorless, colorless gas that kills more than 500 Americans each year. If your home is damaged, stay with friends, family, or in a shelter. To learn more, call 800-CDC-INFO.